Wouldn't think Tulsa will foul again. They're backing up. Porter will dribble it into the front court and let the clock run out. Wichita State breaks a three-game losing streak and gets their first conference road win of the year, their fourth road win overall, as they're going to win it here tonight in Tulsa, 72-62. The Shockers go to 14-12 on the year.
And Wichita State gets a much-needed win last night, as they are now 14-12 on the year. 5-9 in conference play. Win at Tulsa, 72-62. Tyson Etienne with a game-high 18 points. Shockers out-rebounded Tulsa 43-19, their first conference road victory in six tries. And also in college basketball last night, K-State women used the second-half rally to send the game into extra sessions on Wednesday night, but the Wildcats went cold from the field in the overtime. And West Virginia prevailed in double overtime, 74-62. Wildcat women are now under 500 in the Big 12 at 8-9, 18-11 overall, trailed by as many as 14 in the first half, but came back. Ayoka Lee, the 2022 All-America candidate, ended the night with her 18th double-double of the season as she had 24 points and 10 rebounds. KU Lady Jayhawks lost to number 9 Texas, a team they beat in Austin earlier this year. They lose last night at Allen Fieldhouse, 70-60. And March Madness has begun, ladies and gentlemen. Last night, the Atlantic Sun Tournament first-round game between Central Arkansas and Stetson. If it was any indication, we're in for a crazy ride here in the month of March, as Central Arkansas, the league's number 3 seed from the West Division, rallied from a 14-point deficit in the second half to beat Stetson 74-73. Stetson's Christian Jones reached the foul line with 0.9 on the clock, his team trailing by 1. He was in the double-foot bonus, 2 free throws. He missed both, and that allowed Central Arkansas to win 74-73. KU men in action tonight against TCU, and we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, we'll have Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, on with us to talk about KU's woes. But first, we throw it to Dusty as we have some very deserving athletes of the week.
Yes, all of our area NCKSSports.com state wrestlers have been named the athletes of the week. Minneapolis state championship wrestler, I should say. Minneapolis sophomore Chase Johnson, Republic County senior Jonathan Dyke, Southeast Saline senior Matthew Rodriguez, and Beloit senior Brennan Walker were all named our co-athletes of the week from NCKSSports.com and Cunningham Telephone and Cable. Johnson won the 106-pound state championship for Minneapolis and finished the year at 33-1, won over Drayton Kennedy of Erie in the championship match. Dyke took the 152-pound state title for Republic County. Jonathan finished the tournament with a hard-fought sudden victory overtime win over Tanner Sells of Trigo and finished his year at 46-4. Rodriguez of Southeast Saline, again, it was his third straight year that he made it to the 182-pound state championship, and the third time was the charm after losing the first two times he made it. He won the third. He picked up a fall over Ben Hansen of Plainville to finish the season in his senior season, with a record of 35-1. And Walker finished his career 195-pound state championship. He didn't start his season until the Beloit Invitational on January 21st and then finished the year at 21-1, took the state title match by fall over Wade Morgan of Douglas and gets that state championship for Beloit at 195 pounds. Brennan Walker for the Trojans. Again, those are our athletes of the week. You can read much more about their journeys at state and how they got to those state championship matches. Everything you need to know about those state championship wrestlers at NCKSSports.com. And again, we congratulate them, our Cunningham Telephone and Cable, NCKSSports.com athletes of the week. You can nominate an athlete of the week. For more information, just visit NCKSSports.com.
All right, we got locker room chats tonight, the final installments.
Yeah, tonight our last ones. We'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas in that order here this evening. About 5:15, we'll get those underway here this evening. And, again, you can listen to those on Katy Country 94. Always online at katycountry94.com. If you ever miss those locker room chats, if you want to go back and listen to the final wrestling locker room chats or last night's chats as well, they're on the locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com.
All right, why don't you go through the schedule for tonight, and then we'll hear from some of the coaches.
Yep, tonight we'll have high school hoops on Katy Country 94. Actually, after our locker room chats, we'll have the semifinals of the 1A Division 1 substate in Sylvan Grove, Sylvan Lucas substate on the boys' side, as we get things started. A pregame around 5:50, tip-off at 6, and it'll be our first game, Osmond against Rollins County on the boys' side, and then the Lakeside boys will take on Sylvan Lucas following that around 7:30 this evening in boys' semifinal action on Z96.3 and also online video stream of the Bullet Trojan channel, NCKSSports.com. The Trojan boys in the semifinals of the 3A Substate at Minneapolis. Bullet taking on Council Grove here this evening. Pregame coverage 5:45, tip off 6 o'clock on Z96.3 Through the Lake here this evening in that one. And then also in that 3A Substate, top seed of Southeast Saline takes on Smoky Valley around 7:30. Here tonight. 1A Division 2 Substate action. St. John's Tipton hosting these at Beloit High School as the number 3 seed Thunder Ridge Boys face number 2 Logan Palco at 6 o'clock tonight. And then St. John's Tipton's the number 4 seed, and they face top seed Northern Valley at 7:30 this evening. Also in 1A Division 1 at Clifton Clyde, Solomon and Washington County play the first semifinal at 6, while the 4-seeded Lincoln Boys are facing the host school and number 1 seed at Clifton Clyde here this evening. And that'll be at 7:30. And also in girls' substate semifinal action tonight, the top-seeded Smith Center Letty Red taking on number 4 seed Hoxie in the Plainville substate semis at 7:30 tonight. And Trigo will meet St. Francis Shylin in the other semi at 6 o'clock. So that's a look at the immediate area teams that are playing. Now, we can also tell you the Concordia boys last night saw their season come to a close with a 61-60 loss to Rock Creek in the 4A boys substate semis. So let's look back at last night. Concordia finished their year at 14-7. Again, full brackets for substate basketball are posted at nckssports.com.
All right, tonight from Minneapolis, the Beloit boys, the number 2 seed at 15-6, will take on Council Grove. The Braves are 13-8, and the winner gets the substate championship game at 5:30 on Saturday against the winner of the other semifinal, which will be Southeast Lee and Smoky Valley, later tonight at 7:30. Our pregame coverage will begin at 5:45 on Z96.3 Lake, our live video stream at nckssports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. Head coach Ryan Eilert. Council Grove has 3 very distinct players that score their points, and playing defense on them is key.
We've got to make those 3 earn all their points. You know, they've got a good inside-outside combination, and the Marshall kid is very aggressive and able to knock down threes, and if you close out too far, he'll drive around you. They've got another kid that shoots the ball extremely well and shoots a lot of threes, and they all pass well. That's the thing that you notice when you watch film on them, is they share the ball well, and if you try to double, they're finding the open guys. So, you know, defensively, we're going to have to be aware of where those 3 are, but not lose sight of maybe their other 2 role players.
Yeah, Council Grove has 2 guards that have hit 109 of their team's 122 threes. So those 2 guys you got to watch out on the perimeter. They got a 6'4 kid that's a pretty good passer and screener, but the Kellen Marshall, he shoots a lot. He's not afraid to jack it. He's hit 47 threes on the year. He's averaging 18 a game, and he's had some games. He's been double figures every game this year except 1. And then the Brentel kid, Kellen Marshall's the point guard, by the way, wears 55. Point guards don't usually wear that high number, but he does. And then the Brentel kid has hit 62 threes this year, shooting 38% for 3, and he has 4 or 5 games where he's hit 5 threes in a contest. So those 2 can get hot. And if Beloit can handle those 2 and keep them in check, you would like their chances tonight. And, of course, we talk about the 3 players that can certainly score and do good things for Council Grove. Council Grove's head coach, Bruce Hula, well aware that with Beloit, you can't key on 1 individual player. Beloit has 4 players averaging 11 points per game.
Just a solid team. We're going to have to guard everybody. And, you know, you can't help off people, so you can't really take away 1 person. You got to go guard people. We're just going to have to be solid. I think it'll be a good matchup.
It will be fun tonight. You know, I think Beloit got the better of the 2 matchups. I think Smoky Valley is a team that's better than Council Grove because they played a tougher schedule and a tougher league, and I think Southeast has got the tougher draw of the semifinals tonight. Having said that, Council Grove is a team that is capable of getting hot. They're explosive in regards to 3-point shooting, and so that always concerns you. Of course, Beloit's capable of hitting a lot of threes as well. Plus, I think Beloit's got the better offensive threat inside with Bryce Beisner than Council Grove does with their kid, who's a big kid, but not really a kid that puts his back to the basket and posts up a lot from what I've been told. And so Council Grove comes in 13-8. And the common opponents, if you want to get into that, they beat Minneapolis by 5. They lost to Sacred Heart by 22. They beat Riley by 5. Beloit's beaten Riley twice, both by 15 points or more. They beat Minnie by double digits both games, and they lost to Sacred Heart by 1, and they beat Sacred Heart at Sacred Heart. So when you look at that, the common opponents, Beloit's 5-1 against the opponents that Council Grove is 1-2 against. So you sit here and say, well, you know, Bullitt has the edge. And I think they do. However, when you have kids that can light it up like their two guards can, that is a scary, scary thought. And so Coach Eilert's talked about it before, and if you go back in history here since Coach Eilert's been the head coach, and this is his 14th year, sometimes a tougher game is the sub-state semifinal. Now, granted, Beloit's not the favorite in the sub-state. Mm-hmm. Southeast is the favorite, and I think Southeast has got to be on upset alert tonight. I think they're going to have a heck of a time with Smoky Valley. And Beloit, meanwhile, gets the early game, so they know exactly what time they're going to play. They don't have to wait around, you know, in case the first game goes long. And if Beloit can win, then they can sit back, relax, and watch Smoky Valley and Southeast of Saline. There have been years Beloit's been a favorite in their sub-state. I can think of a couple times where they pulled games out of the fire. They were down at, Hoisington, and they were down to Lions with, 14 seconds left, down two scores, and somehow forced overtime and won in the sub-state semis and went on to finish second in state. And then, of course, they finished second in state back in, 2019 season, when they were down and pretty much you thought they were in trouble and might be over, and came back to win double overtime against St. Mary's. Those two comebacks were in the sub-state semifinals. So many people focus on, well, the tough game is a sub-state championship game. Sometimes a tougher one is in the sub-state semifinals, and I think Southeast might find that out tonight. I'm not predicting the upset, but I have a member of my family that says it's going to happen. He feels very confident about it. I'm like, okay, man, but maybe you guys should just don't worry about who you're going to play in the championship. You better just win your game tonight against Council Grove first off. But he's got a strong premonition that Smoky Valley is going to pull off the upset tonight. And I said, well, if they do, they do. Because Southeast, this is their year. I mean, they don't have to go south. They don't have to play Heston and Hillsborough and all those types of teams to the south. They're coming up here, and Southeast, I'm sure, feels that they're going to go to state, both girls and boys, and they should. They're the number one seeds. Mm. They are the favorites. They should. But we've seen many times.
Gotta have that mentality.
Yeah, you gotta have that mentality. But we've seen many, many, many times that sometimes the best team in the sub-state doesn't make it to state, whether it's foul trouble, an injury, or you simply play a little tight. Mm. Things are tight. The team that's the underdog suddenly is in the game late in the third quarter, and then you get into the fourth quarter, and then you tighten up, and next thing you know, you miss a free throw, and then a turnover, and the underdog gets momentum, and then usually the fan bases that are there at the end of the game usually start to cheer for the underdog. So Southeast is the hunted, both on the girls and boys side of this bracket, and it will be very interesting to see who comes out on top tonight in both these games, because Smoky Valley did lose to Southeast Saline by 13 early in the year, but I think Smoky Valley is much improved from early in the year, and I'm sure Southeast is too. And Beloit Council Grove is an interesting matchup to see what kind of strength of schedule Council Grove has played, because even the girls' coach, Council Grove, told me the other day, he said, you know, we're evenly matched with the Beloit girls. He said, the question I have is they play in a more physical league. So he's basically just saying they're a more aggressive league, and I would say maybe the same thing happens here in the boys situation. But you got to go out, you got to play, you got to go out and play well if you're going to move on from this point going forward. And so it should be an interesting game tonight between Beloit and Council Grove at 6 o'clock, Southeast Saline Smoky Valley at 7:30, boys substate semifinals from Minneapolis in Class 3A, pregame at 5:45 tonight on Z96.3 Lake, online katycountry94.com. Get the free apps on your smartphones, folks. The Z96.3 Lake app. You just go to your Google Play, or it's on the Apple Store now too. Type in, search Z96.3 Lake or Katy Country 94, and boom, you'll see our logo. And it's just as simple as that. You install it, you've got it. So if you're, in case you're in the fringe and you're trying to listen on 96.3 on the radio, you can pull it up on your smartphone or route it through your car, stereo system, whatever it might be, on your laptop at home or wherever it is. Those are some great tools so you can still listen to the games, or you can watch it live video stream at nckssports.com or the Boyd Trojan channel. Dusty tonight has a couple of semifinal games down in Sylvan.
Yes, again, we'll start out with Osborne and Rawlins County. Pregame coverage beginning at 5:50, right after our locker room chats tip off at 6 o'clock. And then following that will be the Lakeside and Sylvan Lucas boys games. About 7:30 will be the tip off for that one. So, that's our schedule for tonight. And Osborne, Rawlins County will be the one that opens it out. Rawlins County is 7-14 coming into that game. Osborne is the top seed at 19-2. And you talk about, you need to be focused in this sub-state semifinal. I don't want to bring up bad memories for Osborne, but they're a team that has been upset in early round of the postseason. So I know that Jamie Walters knows that, and he's pretty concerned about Rawlins County tonight, despite the fact that they're just 7-14 coming in.
I think they're definitely playing some of their better basketball from what I've watched on tape. So obviously this time of year you better show up, or you never know what can happen. Somebody could go off and get hot, and you know, we got to rely on our defense to make sure that they don't get hot, play aggressive, and you know, continue to play together on offense.
Yeah, and that one, I really feel like Osborne is the favorite. If they just come out and play the way that they have throughout most of the season, they should be all right and make it into the championship. But again, that's why you go out and play these games. I've not seen Rollins County. I don't know a lot about it. I haven't had a chance really to watch much video or anything this week either. But they're definitely a team that had all their guys back from last year, so they do have experience. Even though they do have a 7-14 record, they have guys that have played at the varsity level and have talent, and so it'll be a tough matchup for Osborne tonight. But if they go out and play their game, they should be all right in that one. And then after that, Lakeside Sylvan Lucas, really looking forward to this one in the semifinals here tonight. They played on February 22nd, and Sylvan Lucas won 55-50 and handed Lakeside just their first league loss of the regular season there. And I think both coaches are kind of looking at that game and trying to kind of take something from it, but also understand that, especially on the Lakeside side of things, Coach Dusky feels like his team just didn't play as well as they could have in that matchup. So they come in at this game 16-5, and Coach Dusky gave some of the keys to what he hopes his team can do the second time around to try to pick up a win.
I think it just comes down to knocking shots down. I mean, we got good looks in the fourth quarter and overall in the second half, and we just weren't hitting shots like we did in the first half when we played Sylvan the first time. And then just limited our turnovers. You know, we had turnovers that we usually haven't been making there in the third and late in the fourth quarter that we could fix, and those are easy things to try to correct. But, well, you know, it's going to be a hard battle. I think we match up with Sylvan so well, across the board.
Yeah, Lakeside, again, coming in at 16-5, and what they want to do is, if they can, you know, get up and down a little bit if they can and hit buckets and get in transition and speed pace up just a little bit. I'm not saying that they're going to be like a Northern Valley maybe that St. John's Tipton is going to see tonight. They're just going to run and take shots right when they get across half court sometimes. But they do want to speed the pace a little bit, and that's not what Sylvan Lucas wants to do. They can do that if they need to. They've won games in the 60s. They've won games in the 40s. They can do whatever they need to do to be successful. They're 18-3 coming in, and Jeff Starkey, the head coach of the Sylvan Lucas Mustangs, knows this matchup with Lakeside is tough because he just saw it and knows some of the things and keys to having success to get a second win against Lakeside this season.
Well, some of the things, you know, that we focused on the first time, it's 10 days ago when we played them, and it's going to be in the same building. We just have to be able to, survive some of their runs. They're so explosive offensively with those five seniors that they play, and you got to be able to get stops, and you got to be able to score when they go on their runs to, kind of combat that.
Lakeside and Sylvan Lucas tonight. Again, that was Jeff Starkey, the coach of the Mustangs. Mustangs led by Valden Dole this year, and he's their main threat to score. And you know, as Coach Starkey said, Lakeside has a lot of different guys that can get hot on any given night. So it'll be interesting to see how that one plays out. Really looking forward to Lakeside Sylvan Lucas tonight. Also looking forward to Osborne Rollins County tonight on the boys' side in the semifinals, 1A Division 1 at Sylvan Lucas. And again, we'll have pregame coming up right after our locker room chats around 5:50 tonight on Kitty Country 94 and kittycountry94.com. For the 1A boys substate semis.
Any other games stand out to you tonight?
I'm interested to see what St. John's Tipton can do against Northern Valley. I actually was talking to Coach Bergman yesterday off the air, and I mentioned that Osborne Logan Palco game a few years back where, you know, Osborne was a heavy favorite and Logan Palco got the win. And you can actually look at your own team too if you're the Blue Jays and you're undefeated and fell to Osborne in a sub-state championship game. So you got to go out and play these games. And St. John's Tipton has an opportunity to maybe be that spoiler against Northern Valley, who's a very good team here tonight. But just kind of looking forward to that. And then Thunder Ridge, Logan Palco in that same sub-state there at Beloit High, hosted by St. John's Tipton. Logan Palco beat them 51-24 the first time they played in December, and they beat them by just one the second time, 49-48 in Kensington earlier in February. So I know they're looking forward to that matchup, Thunder Ridge is here tonight. And so really looking forward to seeing how those two come out there in 1A Division 2. And then Smith Center girls, they're on a path right now to make it to state. They've just got to go out and stay focused and play their game and take it on Hoxie tonight. I know Coach Lynn is kind of concerned about that game because Hoxie's played them pretty tough this year already, but really looking forward to seeing what they can do. And the Lady Red are definitely the favorite, but again, got to go out and play those games.
All right, so all the broadcast schedule and the entire schedule that we just talked about available to you at ncksports.com. Well, it's deja vu all over again. KU's playing TCU again. Didn't they just play? Oh, yeah, they did. They played on Tuesday, and now they're going to play tonight, except it's at Lawrence at Allen Fieldhouse. KU ranked 6th in the country, 23-6, 12-4 in the Big 12, and they basically have to win tonight, and then more than likely they're going to have to win coming up on Saturday against Texas to get at least a share of the Big 12 title. Maybe they could win it outright if they win these two, and Baylor trips up against Iowa State on Saturday. Weird things have happened. So KU against TCU, 19-9, 8-8 in the conference. 7 o'clock tonight. We'll join that one in progress after the Beloit Council Grove boys game is over on Z96.3 Lake. Bill Self, his team needs to be better than they were on Tuesday.
I think this is more between the years than it is other things. We just gotta compete harder. And certainly, they ran right by us a couple of times in transition. They controlled the glass, and they were quicker to balls. After time, those things will prevail. And so we got to be better. We will be better on Thursday.
Well, tonight is Thursday, and KU will need to be better. No question about it. They were out-rebounded by 12. TCU had 19 offensive rebounds. The effort really wasn't there. I think KU was tired. I see some people on social media and KU fans that I apparently think the players are robots, that they just – you do know they bleed just like us. You do know that they get headaches just like us. You know they go to the bathroom just like us. And yet somehow – well, I just can't believe that with a Big 12 title on the line, we would have such a flat performance. Why is that so unbelievable? They haven't really had a flat performance all year. Teams usually have at least one or two per season. They had a flat performance after putting everything out there against – Baylor. It's tough to win on the road. The Big 12 isn't what it once was, where KU just runs roughshod over everybody, no matter where the game's played. The conference is better than it used to be. There is more parity than it used to be. It's not KU dominating all the time, and some KU fans are going to have to adjust to that. So that's just the way it is. I talked to somebody the other day. This is pretty funny. Brian Haney coming up here in about 8 minutes. The voice of the Jazz, talk more about KU basketball. But I talked to, actually, I asked a couple people. One person's a Nebraska fan. And then the other person was, I don't think they really have an allegiance one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And I said, how would you describe, and I did this for both K-State and KU fan bases, all right? And I said, how would you describe, what's the first thing that pops in your mind when I ask you about KU fan base for basketball? And the response I got was cocky, overconfident, snobbish. Those are the comments I got. Okay.
If you ask me that as a K-State fan, what my response would be? What? Entitled.
Entitled. Okay. Well, and I think all that does tie into it. Yes, I agree. Entitled's a good one, and that's entitled, right? Well, when you dominate a conference,
exactly.
You think you are entitled to the Big 12 credit.
I probably feel like that toward me as a Chiefs fan. Right?
Sure. Well, right.
Right,
no doubt about it. You're right. You're right. And I said, well, what's the first thing that pops in your mind about the K-State fan base? And it was whiny. And complain. Complainers.
I'm a K-State
and
fan,
whiny.
And I'm like,
you're
whiny.
You're a K-State fan, and you immediately say whiny. K-State fans do come across as whiny. They do. They complain and whine about, I think, almost everything imaginable. And in fairness to K-State fans, KU fans come across as snobbish, entitled, and sometimes arrogant.
Yeah.
When it's basketball. Now, football, KU fans just disappear. They just completely disappear. You don't even see them.
Yeah, non-existent.
Whereas there are K-State fans that still stick their necks out there sometimes during basketball season. And then, of course, they're pretty excited about football. And I think those descriptions of both fan bases, and it's not completely fair. There are KU fans that aren't snobbish.
Yeah.
And there are K-State fans that don't whine and complain about everything. But it is interesting to talk to a Nebraska fan, and then, like I said, I don't even know the allegiance of the other person. And they both basically said the same things, just a different type of word or adjective.
Yeah.
Whine, complain, that's the same thing. Cocky, arrogant, snobbish, that's kind of the same thing. And that's interesting to me. Because that's how I would kind of describe it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet, KU fans be like, well, we're not entitled. We're not snobbish.
Yeah, yeah,
K-State
yeah,
fans,
yeah.
We don't whine about everything. You're whining about people talking about how you whine.
I can't. It's if you actually analyze and look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Like, those are the things that come out. But, again, we don't want to do that with ourselves.
No.
Right? Like,
we
don't want the outside perception to be true about us if it's something like that.
We don't
like saying we're entitled or arrogant or, whatever, self-centered, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, that happens. It's like I said, I think a lot of people are feeling that way about Chiefs fans. A lot of people feel that way about Patriots fans, right?
Like, oh, sure.
You're entitled. You're arrogant. You think you're better than everybody else and things like that. So it happens. It's a natural course of being that good.
Right.
And winning that much.
Yes, and it has gone from Patriots
and it's
fans
a natural
to
course of being like that as a K-State fan when you're getting beat that much by KU. You're trying to figure out a way to win. You know, like, how do I get there? And so you feel like the cards are always stacked against you.
Sure,
and you're going to start complaining about stuff.
Right, right, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Some other sports news as we will get Brian here in about 5 minutes. Some other sports news to pass along to you. There was a Big 12 men's game last night, and boy, I hope you didn't watch it. Oklahoma State beat Iowa State 53-36. 53-36. It set basketball back. There was a shot clock. Did they use a shot clock last night? I would hope so. They did there in the Big 12 game. We mentioned TCU at Kansas tonight, 7 o'clock. We'll try to join that in progress tonight, as we said, after the Bullitt Council Grove game. And then Saturday, in Big 12 play, TCU's at West Virginia. That one really doesn't have much on the line other than TCU trying to strengthen their resume. Texas Tech at Oklahoma State, that could be a big game. Oklahoma at K-State at 3 o'clock on Big 12 Now on ESPN+. Texas at KU at 3 o'clock, and Iowa State at Baylor at 5 o'clock. So if KU could win tonight, and if they would beat Texas on Saturday, they would be in the clubhouse with a share of the conference title, and then that puts the pressure on Baylor to win against Iowa State at home, knowing that KU's already in the clubhouse with the lead. So, yeah. And I remember one year where Kansas K-State tied for the Big 12 title. Kansas, all they had to do is win in Waco. Baylor wasn't what they once were. And did K-State lose that day too? I can't remember. I think they did.
Because they lost Oklahoma State.
Because I remember K-State fans freaking out. I remember K-State fans freaking out going, oh, there was our chance. We lost.
We were going to tie because KU was going to win, too.
They were
going
to win.
The day, both teams were going to win, so it was going to be a tie.
And then K-State lost, and it was like, oh, KU's going to win outright. Dadgummit. And then they lost to Baylor, and then K-State back into the conference title because KU lost at Baylor. And Baylor wasn't what they once were at that time. They weren't nearly as good as they are now. So anything can happen. I mean, now Iowa State only scored 36 points at home last night. I'm not sitting here going to tell you that Baylor's going to lose, but anything and weirder things have happened. But here's an interesting scenario, too. If Kansas loses one of the last two, tonight or to Texas at home, which most people will say they're not going to lose at home, I would say I think they could, especially the Texas game. If Kansas loses one of the two remaining and Baylor loses Iowa State at home and Texas Tech wins at Oklahoma State, you have a three-way tie for the Big 12 title.
Yeah.
And Texas Tech would be 3-1 against Baylor and KU combined. They'd have the best overall record between the three. If you really
number one seed in that,
they'd get the number
scenario.
One seed. Yeah, and then the number two seed. I understand that if KU and Baylor end up tied, KU will be the one seed in the Big 12 tournament. That's what I read yesterday. So I would assume that a three-way tie, KU would probably be the two seed, and then Baylor would be the three. So that's pretty interesting stuff. And it's also interesting for K-State, because the only way they're going to make the Big 12 tournament is the only way they make the NCAA tournament is to win the Big 12 tournament. Mm-hmm. And if K-State loses to Oklahoma, K-State's going to be in the play-in game against West Virginia. If they beat Oklahoma, then they're going to be what, a 7 or a 6 or something like that? So then their odds are going to have to play either KU, Texas Tech, or Baylor. That's just to get to the championship game. So does anybody still think K-State's going to win the Big 12 tournament? I don't think anybody really has said that they're going to. The players believe it, which that's good. They should believe it. But because that's the only way they're going to get in. There's talk about K-State adding another basketball game. Like a week ago, we were talking about K-State adding a game to strengthen their NCAA tournament resume. Now, a week later, we're just trying to make the NIT and get Bruce Wynn 500 career victories.
Yeah, there's the story out there is that it's not about the NIT. It's about Bruce getting to 500 wins in his career. So
and why would they want to rush that?
Because
maybe he won't be back next
year.
He'd be stuck on 499.
Yeah.
His first win at another school would be his 500th at like Austin Peay or something or wherever he goes. Yeah, I could see that's interesting stuff right there. They talk about Northern Illinois, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And they're 8-21,
like 301st.
Wouldn't that be just so K-State though to lose that game?
100% it would. I just gotta get. Let's go schedule this team so Bruce can get another win. Let's get to the NIT. Oh, nope, you lost again. Sorry about that.
That's at Fort Hays State. That should be a gimme. Whoops, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
Oh my. Other sports news to pass along to you. Russell Westbrook and Lakers have mutual interest to split. Never thought that would work. I have no idea why anybody thought it worked. I have no idea why LeBron wanted Russell Westbrook to join the team. I don't get it. The Bucks came back and won over the first place Heat. The Bucks, the Heat, the Sixers look good with Harden, with Embiid so far. They're 3-0 with Harden and Embiid teaming up. The East looks pretty tough. The West looks tough, of course, too. Grizzlies could jump the Warriors for the 2 seed. That's kind of interesting. And sad news to report, Stanford soccer captain Katie Meyer, who helped the team win the 2019 National Championship in women's soccer, she died suddenly at the age of 22. No cause of death has been announced. She was found in her room, from what I read. And so she was a goalkeeper, a key part of that Stanford team that won the national championship. And so we will see what they find out later on. But she passed away at the age of 22. That's just way, way too young.
I just, it's hard for me to stomach those stories when I hear them, no matter who it is.
Yeah, no doubt.
I lived a life, I feel like, and if something happens to me, I know I'm still young, but, man, 22, and anything before that, you know, or anything before 30, I feel like, is just, like,
I agree with you.
Insane.
Yeah. Agreed.